Now today's scripture reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. It says, I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because Jesus considered me faithful and appointed me to his service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience as an example to those who will come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God.
Having listened to the passage for today, let us bow our heads and ask God to apply this to our own lives and open our hearts and minds to receive it. Lord our God, thank you. We are grateful for you and your mercy and your grace and your word. Thank you for the opportunity to open it today, to reflect on it, to let it shine some light into our own lives and our own existence. And I pray, God, if there's anything that hinders anyone here today from listening and accepting your word, that your spirit will remove those barriers, those obstacles. Open our hearts and our minds so we can hear you clearly today. And we ask that in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So another Siena College ranking of U.S. presidents came out this year. So who do you think came in first? Who, according to their attributes, abilities, and all of that, is considered to be the best leader America has had amongst their presidents? Anybody? Any guesses? Lincoln? Washington? Anybody else? In any case, according to the latest ranking of 45 presidents, it is Franklin D. Roosevelt. His many accomplishments included expanding the powers of the presidency and of the federal government in support of the public interest during clashes between, you know, big business and labor. He steered the nation toward an active role in world politics, particularly in Europe and Asia. He won the Nobel Prize for Peace in 1906 for mediating an end to the Russo-Japanese War. He secured the route and began construction of the Panama Canal. He vigorously promoted the conservation movement and emphasizing efficient use of natural resources. And he dramatically expanded the system of national parks and national forests. Okay, so now who do you think is ranked as the worst president ever? Anybody? Well, the person you're probably thinking of came in 43rd, okay? But now the worst American leader ever is Andrew Johnson. And Johnson is best known for being impeached for dismissing his Secretary of War, as well as for the terrible strife in his administration after the Civil War. Amongst his worst qualities were party leadership, communication, relations with Congress, and court appointments. So Franklin D. Roosevelt to Andrew Johnson, from first to worst. So when we talk about the best and the worst leaders and their influence, where is the Apostle Paul on this list? The person who wrote this letter that we just read from to his younger colleague, Timothy. I mean, how would we rate him as a person? Worst? First? Bad guy? Good guy? Zero? Hero? Somewhere in between?
First.
So he writes to Timothy, John, he writes to Timothy in verse 13, and he says, in the past, I spoke against Christ, and I persecuted him, and did all kinds of things to hurt him. He admitted to his younger co-worker, Timothy, that he was a blasphemer, a persecutor, man of violence. And that's Paul. Paul was a blasphemer. He said terrible things and insulting things about Jesus Christ. He showed contempt for God and for the things that are sacred. It says in Acts 26, I once thought that I should do everything I could to oppose Jesus from Nazareth. He said, I thought it was my duty to oppose this Jesus of Nazareth with all my might. So bad guy, good guy. Paul was not only a blasphemer, he was also a persecutor. He says himself, I put many of God's people in jail. I even voted for them to be killed. I voted for their execution. And Paul was a man of violence. He says, I often had them punished in our meeting places, and I tried to make them give up their faith. In fact, I was so angry with them that I went looking for them in foreign cities. I stormed through their meeting places. I forced them to curse Jesus. I was obsessed with obliterating these followers of Jesus Christ. And it says in Acts 8, Paul agreed that the killing, the stoning of Stephen, was good. And that he was trying to destroy the church. He was going from house to house, dragging out men and women and putting them in jail. I mean, think about, you know, this scene, this violence, this invasiveness, entering house after house. It's a picture we've all seen. Maybe in movies, you know, scenes that are similar. So you hear the pounding at the door. And Christians inside are hiding, maybe in a closet. And Saul and his soldiers have the house surrounded. And there's more pounding and more shouting. And accusations fill the air. And then they bust open the door. And Saul and his men are inside. And they fan out to find the occupants. They hiding on the rooftop or in a basket or under the bed. But then they're all found and dragged screaming from their hiding places. I mean, listen to the screams. But Saul, I mean, he shows no mercy. He orders his men to drag them out of the house and onto the street. And then these early Christians are carted off to a prison somewhere where their fate will be determined. And this is the man, Saul, who became Paul. Blasphemer, persecutor, man of violence, not good, the worst, a zero in anyone's book. And yet Paul says this to Timothy, but God showed me mercy because I did not know what I was doing. I did not believe. But the grace of our Lord was fully given to me. And with that grace came the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. says the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. Now we know the story of how he was on the road to Damascus when he had this powerful conversion experience and when God changed his life completely. What happened was God showed him unexpected mercy. And he was saved from a life of violence and evil. And it says the grace of God overflowed for him. And so the persecutor Saul, the Christian hunter, became the apostle Paul, and arguably the world's greatest missionary for the Christian faith. From worst to first. From zero to hero. And God's divine mercy and grace made it possible. So let me ask you. I mean, I kind of asked you during the children's message. But what is grace? What is grace for you? What would you say? What is grace? What is God's grace? You know what it is, right? But how do you put it into words? What is this kind of grace that can change someone's life completely? What's called transformative grace. What is that exactly? I don't know if you've ever heard of Philip Yancey. He's a well-known Christian writer, and someone asked him one time to give him a definition of grace. And he said, I don't even try. But he did tell a story. He said, I remember once getting stuck in Los Angeles traffic and arriving 58 minutes late at the Hertz rental desk. And so I walked up kind of in a bad mood and put the keys down and said, all right, how much do I owe? And the woman says, nothing. You're all clear. So I said, I was late. And she smiled and said, yes, but there's a 1 hour grace period. So I asked, oh, really? What is grace? And she said, I don't know. I guess what it means is that even though you're supposed to pay, you don't have to. I think that's a pretty good definition of grace, isn't it? Even though you are supposed to pay, you don't have to. Paul was supposed to pay for being a blasphemer, but he didn't have to. He was supposed to pay for being a persecutor of Christ's followers, but he didn't have to. He was supposed to pay for being a man of violence, but he didn't have to. Instead, the grace of our Lord overflowed for him with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. And Paul received unmerited mercy. And then he went on to become the number one leader of the first century church. And outside of Jesus, probably the greatest Christian who ever lived. You see, grace doesn't make a lot of sense if you get off the hook and then return to your bad behavior. If you find grace but just keep on going with your old life as usual, that's not transformative grace. But what happens more often than not is the opposite, right? People who receive mercy and grace are usually so grateful that they turn their lives around. And then they do everything they can to show grace and mercy to others. Like Chuck Colson. He was President Richard Nixon's hatchet man. He was sent to prison for his role in the Watergate scandal. But after receiving the gift of God's grace, he went on to create a ministry called Prison Fellowship. And he took the message of Jesus' saving grace to prisoners all around the world. Or Dorothy Day. She was a journalist and an activist with a wild personal life. But after receiving the gift of grace, she went on to help start the Catholic worker movement with special homes to help people in need. And so here's the thing about God's transformative grace. It doesn't just free us. It elevates us. It moves us from worst to first. It changes us. It moves us from being a zero to being a hero somehow. And do you know what the best part about it is? Grace is a central part of God's plan. That's how awesome God is. Grace is part of His blueprint for us human beings, and grace is available to each and every one of us. Listen to what Paul says in verse 15. What I say is true, and you should fully accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Not just Paul, not just Chuck Colson or Dorothy Day, but you and me as well. Jesus came to save sinners, to save those who need and accept His grace. And this is the most amazing part of the gospel. This is what I love so much about Jesus. Although we are supposed to pay for our sins, we don't have to. Because Jesus did it. We are let off the hook because Christ Jesus came into the world to save us. And all we have to do is to trust Him and let Him move us up the ladder from worst to first, from zero to hero. And as we put our faith in Jesus, we discover that we become part of God's plan. His plan to save the world. We become His instruments. And this is what Paul discovered in his life. He says, Jesus chose me because I was the worst. That's how amazing God's grace in Jesus is. But I was given mercy so that in me, the worst of all sinners, Christ Jesus could show that He has patience without limit. His patience with me made me an example for those who would believe in Him and have life forever. God didn't show Paul mercy because he deserved it. He showed him mercy precisely because he did not deserve it. And that's what mercy is. It's simply a gift. God gave Paul the gift of mercy and grace to reveal to the people of the world that Christ loves to save sinners. Now we see that Paul was grateful. Grateful for this mercy and grace. He didn't carry on with his former ways. He was transformed by God's grace. He says in verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who gave me strength because He trusted me and gave me this work of serving Him. He responded by serving Christ Jesus. He responded by becoming one of the greatest leaders of the church. He was a blasphemer, persecutor, man of violence. But after God's grace touched his life in a profound way, he showed his gratitude by turning his life around and serving the very same Christians that he had hurt. So think about it this way. I mean, those of us who are here this morning, I think we've all experienced God's grace to a lesser or greater extent. And for many of us, I think the reason we're here on Sundays is not because we're the greatest Christians. It's because we are not. It's because we know we need God's grace in our lives. That's why we're here. And you see, when we receive God's grace, it transforms us. When we receive the grace of Jesus, it changes us. This incredible idea that even though we're supposed to pay, we don't have to. That Jesus pays the price for all of our sins. That it's actually part of God's plan for the world. That even though we feel badly about ourselves, Jesus loves us so much that He wants to save us. It doesn't matter if you feel like you're the worst friend, or that you're the worst husband or wife, or worst neighbor, or worst parent, or worst child, or worst employee. And maybe you're a violent person. Maybe you're an impatient person. Maybe you have a tumultuous personal life. Maybe you'd be an even more awful president than Andrew Johnson. Maybe you feel like you're a zero in everyone else's book. I want you to know, and I want you to believe today, that no matter who you are or what you've done, the grace of our Lord overflows for you with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And Jesus wants to move you from the bottom to the top. And you can go from zero to hero. And all you need to do is trust Him and receive His gift of grace. And just like the Apostle Paul, you can become an example for those who would believe in Him and have life forever. And that's a big shift, for sure, from worst to first, from zero to hero. But it's possible. It's possible for anyone who believes because of the mercy and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, if we are honest today, we acknowledge that we are sinners. That we all have gone down the wrong path, that we're never as grateful as we should be, that we're not here because we're the greatest and the best Christians and followers of Christ. We're actually here because we recognize within ourselves the need for Your grace, the need for Your forgiveness. And so thank You for mercy and grace and the gift of forgiveness in Jesus' name, that through Him and faith in Him, we don't have to pay because it's already been paid for. May we all live lives of gratitude and service to You as giving thanks to You because we are grateful for Your grace and mercy in our lives every day, every moment. We ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen.